Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
You've been there, and you've also had family members that have struggled with depression. What works and what doesn't when speaking to and encouraging someone who's got depression?
I think first things we need to be mindful of is probably to stay away from pat answers, even if those answers have some truth to them. You know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps or lean into God. Those well-meaning bits of advice can sometimes bounce off of a depressed person as if they were made of Teflon. One of the best things that I think you can do as you try to reach somebody who has depression is to just be there for them. You isolate yourself when you are suffering from depression. You pull away from those who love you. You pull away from the things that you used to enjoy doing. You want to roll into this ball and not reach out to anybody. Because of that, it's so important for those who are trying to love somebody through this very, very difficult time to be there and show their presence. Listening is tremendously helpful. Just knowing that you have somebody who is there for you. When you have depression, you tend to think that you are unloved and unworthy of love. To show somebody that they are loved, that they are cared for, that they are worthy, I think can make a huge difference in the life of someone who's dealing with that mental illness.
Compassionately said, Paul. What environmental factors can feed into depression, and how can you watch for warning signs that your loved one might be struggling?
Sometimes it can be the loss of a job or the failure of a relationship or grief over a loved one. There can be elements of when you are living your life out of balance of who you think you should be, that can trigger it. But sometimes it comes on from out of the blue. And for some people who are dealing with multiple episodes of depression, those latter episodes can sort of be triggered by a myriad of different factors or none at all, apparently. But for those who are watching for signs of depression, you need to be looking for, obviously, feelings of sadness. If someone feels sad or angry or irritable much more than they used to be, that's a huge issue. If they show a loss of interest in things that they used to really enjoy doing, that's another big warning sign. Are they eating too much or too little? Are they sleeping too much or too little? Sometimes depression can manifest itself in slower thinking, difficulty making decisions. There can be trouble concentrating. And sometimes, as was the case with me, honestly, it can manifest in physical symptoms as well. If you have a child who has unexplained headaches or stomach aches or back pain, sometimes those can be sort of a physical reaction to what he or she is feeling deep inside. He doesn't have the words to describe what's going on in his mind, so it manifests itself in a different way. One of the tricky things about this is that, of course, a lot of those symptoms can be, if you're dealing with a teen, they can be signs of just being a normal teenager. Sometimes teens sleep in a lot. Sometimes they get angry and irritable. So it's always important to be willing to reach out to experts, to counselors, to pastors who can sort of help you walk through these things and help you to discern what is really going on.
Oh, absolutely. So, Paul, how do we lean on Christ and seek hope when loving someone with depression?
I think this is getting better within the world of Christianity, but oftentimes people from the outside who don't understand what depression is, who can't really understand what's going on, they wonder whether this depressed person is not living out their faith as they should. Maybe living in some sort of unconfessed sin or just isn't strong enough. There's this sense of failure sometimes that can sort of sneak into some of these conversations. And you can understand why, right? As Christians, we are given the greatest hope in the world. Why should we not be delirious with joy knowing that we are loved by our Creator and loved by Jesus? But when you're depressed, you don't necessarily feel that. You may know it to be true, but you don't feel it. And so when it comes down to that, I think that both as a person walking through depression, but also as a person who's trying to help someone, focus in on what you know because your feelings lie. Depression lies to you. It lies to you all the time, telling you that you are unloved, you're unworthy, that God has rejected you even. That can be how you feel, but we know the truth. And sometimes, as a depressed person, you really need to learn to lean on that understanding, that knowledge, as opposed to how you feel. Also, it's important to know that sometimes, even in the midst of these very, very difficult times, some beauty can be drawn from them in the aftermath. Some benefit can be drawn even in the midst of it. I believe Yes. that my own experience with depression has made me look at the world differently. And while I would never, ever wish depression on anybody in a million years, I do feel that the knowledge, the understanding that I have gotten from my experiences, I'm able to look at the world just maybe a little half turn different than some people. And I think that my experiences can help others. And so concentrate on those moments, because we're all in this journey, and the journey is not for any of us always pleasant. But sometimes the greatest growth can take place in those unpleasant moments.
Yeah, and thank you for reminding us. When we go through it, it makes us more understanding and compassionate towards others. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Paul?
Really, the whole title of the book that I wrote, Beauty in the Browns, is really taken from that sense of drawing understanding, trying to learn from sometimes this really, really horrible thing. It comes from an experience that I had with my dad. My dad and I were taking this walk through a big old vacant field in the middle of November in one of the coldest, driest parts of Colorado. Everything was ugly. It was just terrible. Me as a 17-year-old, I thought, this is really bad. Why is my dad forcing me to go on this walk? But my dad, he's an artist. And he turned to me and he said, look at this. Look at all the browns. Isn't it beautiful? And he, as an artist, was able to see the textures in there, the very, very subtle variations of the colors that he saw. Where I saw a dead landscape, he saw these hints of beauty. And I think that sometimes even these really dark experiences that we have, they can help us see hints of beauty in the midst of some really difficult places.